Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's get us some heaven on earth. This chapter is really dealing with this. There's a lot in this chapter, and we're going to look at another portion of it tonight. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. 21. We're glad that the kids can join us tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Kids, you ready to hear the word? Hallelujah. The word will pump you up. Amen. Anybody want to be faith man or faith woman? Amen. Glory to God. The true superhero. Deuteronomy 11:21 talks about that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. And we've been looking at some different aspects, but let's go back up to verse 1. It says, therefore shall you love the Lord your God, keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. You know, we got to love God, don't we? He loved us while we were yet sinners, while we were separated. He loved us. He was patient with us. He was working with us, and he's still working with us. And, you know, we ought to just love Jesus. We ought to fall in love with Jesus. And, you know, and really, loving him is really keeping his commandments. And I want you to go down to verse 18. We're going to go there tonight. Well, let's back up just a little bit and go down to verse 16. We talked about our land a little bit last week and what it meant to have the land, and as God looking over our land, watching over it from beginning of the year to the end of the year. Amen. If God's watching over your land, you're going to have a good land that's going to produce its harvest in its season, all right? Even if you face a famine, God will take care of you because the rain comes from heaven, all right? And in verse 16, he tells us to take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So whose responsibility is it to guard your heart? It's our responsibility. You know, what do we got to guard our heart? We got to guard our heart from deception, which is really the only weapon of the enemy. He's a deceiver. So basically, he lies. He makes things look like what they're not. And when you get into them, you find out that they're not so good, but then you're trapped. Okay? And you never want to let go, you never want to let up guarding your heart. You don't want to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I've been working hard all week. I'm just going to take a day off from guarding my heart. Okay? Because deception could come in. What happens is, and then you'll turn aside and you'll serve other gods. What does the Bible say about Solomon? Is his wives turned his heart away from God. Listen, don't let anybody, I don't care how close they are to you, don't let anybody turn you away from God. Amen? If someone is trying to get you to turn from God, listen, you don't worry about them. You just take yourself and say, I'm not turning. All right? Don't go down that road. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the rain, or shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land, which the Lord your God gives you. Someone who's deceived is going to perish quickly off the good land. You know, this was land that God wanted them to have. This was land that God brought them into. But if you allow yourself to be deceived, you're going to undo all that God wanted to do. Now, I want you to focus your attention on verse 18. Therefore, shall you lay up these my words where? In your heart and in your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. So let's talk a little bit about laying up God's word in your heart. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, part of you having heaven on earth is having God's word where? In your heart. Why should you have it in your heart? Because if you forget your Bible, then you always got it in your heart. Right? And when you're facing a challenge, you're not going to go anywhere without your heart, are you? I hope not. That'd be pretty weird. All right, so Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Does that sound like an option? You know, maybe I'll just keep these words in my head. You know, I'll memorize them. God didn't say, well, he did say keep them in your soul. But you got to keep them in your heart. Notice, which I command you this day shall be. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Listen, your children need to know what's in your heart. Just like you have the word in your heart, your children have, children, you got to have the word in your heart too. And the children have to be taught. You've got to teach your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house. We ought to have word discussions in our home. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you ought to be talking about the word in many points of your day. Amen? Well, I don't have anybody to talk to. Then talk to yourself. Have a conversation with me, myself, and I. You know, those are the three main people in the Pishka Corporation, me, myself, and I. Have a conversation. Talk to them. Teach them the word. Okay? Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. When you have... I'm getting ahead of myself. I can't... All right. Whew. I'm getting excited. There's a statement that I want to make once we say these scriptures here. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to who? Notice, I want you to notice he was speaking the words to Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of the law. For it is not a vain thing for you. Listen, it's not vain for you to command your children the word. Because it is your life. Say, the word is my life. Jesus said when he was tempted, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need to be living by God's word. It's your life. And through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. So I want you to see, you know, Having God's word in your heart is not a vain thing. It's, in other words, it's not an empty thing. You know, oh, well, you're just getting God's word in your heart. Yes, we need God's word in our heart. You've got to memorize scripture. You've got to know where things are found. You've got to have it in your heart. You've got to go over it and over it, however you get it in your heart. Maybe you're a quick learner, and all you need to do is hear it, and boom, it's there. Great. That means that gives you so much more opportunity to put more in your heart. Why? Because you're going to need the word in your heart. Because you're going to face challenges in life. And this is where we're really going tonight. Go to Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119. This is the longest book in the Bible. Psalm 119. And look at verse 11. How many want to have a sin preventative? Okay, look at, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, maybe when we're faced with temptation, we don't have the right words in our heart to resist that temptation. Okay? But we've got to hide God's word in our heart so that we might not sin. Why? Because the word is sin preventative. It will prevent you from sinning if you put it in your heart. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, what? Forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. When you've got God's word in your heart, he goes on to say, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. So the more word you're putting in your heart, the more peace you're adding to your life. Can anybody use more peace? Okay? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. When you do this, you're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. There was a description that God used about David. What was it? He was a man after God's heart. Do you think David was a person who hid God's word in his heart? Absolutely. He was a person who put God's word in his heart. That's why he was able to write a lot of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but a lot of them he wrote. Okay? Go to Proverbs 6. And look at verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Kids, this is talking to you. What does it say? Keep your father's commandment. Now, it's not just talking about your natural father, but your heavenly father, right? And forsake not the law of your mother. Guess what, mothers? You can lay down the law. When you break the law, then you can give them a seat on the board of education. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them about your neck. We're going somewhere with this too. I'm loading the ammunition. Okay? Colossians 3:16. Do you realize that if you want to employ your angels, do you know what language angels speak? The word of God, because they respond to the word. They don't speak Spanish. They don't speak French. They speak the Word. And if you don't have the Word of God in your heart, your angels might be unemployed. Colossians 3:16. Well, let's read verse 15. You know, it's every once in a while you got to hit the brakes and stop and take a look, you know? You don't want to go past things too quickly. And let the peace of God rule where? In your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Listen, you got to let the peace of God rule and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God is really concerned about your heart, isn't he? He's concerned that your heart gets the right nutrients, the right minerals, and the right food. Your heart, this is the best heart food ever. This food was specifically designed for your heart. Your heart loves this food, by the way. And it will receive it, and you can stuff it in there. Amen? When it comes to the Word, there's no such thing as overeating. Praise God. You know, I love the Word so much that I became a Bible junkie. Amen. You know, it started with Matthew, then I went on to Mark, then Luke, then John, then Acts, Romans, and on to Corinthians, and I couldn't stop. I had to have more. Why? Because I'm a Bible junkie. We all need to be Bible junkies. It has to dwell richly in our heart. That's how we're going to have heaven on earth. God designed our hearts to contain the Word. Okay? Go to, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read with verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Is it possible to let the Word of God slip in our life? Yep. When we don't do what the Bible tells us to do, when we starve our hearts. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can starve your heart. You can just stop reading. You can stop being in a place that teaches the Word of God. And eventually your heart's going to be starved from the Word. Okay? And if we do that, we're going to let things slip. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of rewards, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a certain... What does it mean to neglect our salvation? To not do anything with it. You know, I'm just going to serve God, but I'm going to serve him from the sidelines. I'm sorry, but that doesn't work. Christianity is not a passive sport. It's an active sport. You've got to find some place where you can serve. You got to find some people where you can use things. You know, use them or lose them. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Now he's talking to me, a minister. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know him and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm always going to cause you to remember the word. Amen. Amen? It's my job to remind you what the word says. And we should, when we hear what the word says, we should never say, I know that. That is so prideful. You may know it. But you know what? You may see something else the moment that it's spoken. I mean, for us to think, oh yes, I know that. There's nothing else I can learn about that scripture because I know it. Really? And I know, you know, when people are young in the Lord, you know, sometimes we take the attitude, oh, he's turning to that scripture again. Can he get off that scripture? No. Because maybe you got it, but maybe someone next to you doesn't. So I'm always going to put you in remembrance of the word. Now, when your heart is full of the word, what are you? I'm thinking something that you're not thinking, probably. You're armed and dangerous. Okay, it's one thing to have your heart so full of the word, you're walking around, my heart is full. My heart is so full. My heart is so full. Now, what do you do with a heart that's full? How do you release the word? You know, in order to have heaven on earth, part of it is having your heart full, but the second part is speaking the word out, because when you speak the word out, that manifests God's presence and power to your current situation. So when your heart is full, you're armed and dangerous, but at some point you got to pull the trigger. A heart that's full is a sword in its sheath. But when an enemy comes out, you got to take that sword out and you got to wield it. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Can you imagine Jesus standing before Lazarus's tomb? He gets there, and they're all watching him to see what he's going to do, and his heart is full, and he's just looking at the tomb. And people are looking at him, and he's looking at the tomb. Do you realize Lazarus isn't going to come out if you don't say anything? Part of having heaven on earth is having God's word in our heart. But the second part is releasing faith that comes with that. Before we get to Ephesians 6, hold your place there and go to Mark 11. Mark 11:22. Jesus answering said unto them, what? Have faith? Who is your faith supposed to be in? Okay? So when you're against a situation or a circumstance in your life, your faith needs to be in who? Okay? Your faith shouldn't be in anyone else or anything else. Your faith needs to be in God. In other words, God needs to be the object of your faith, right? Now, when you have faith in God, do you have the word in your heart? Yes. I'll make it simple. When you have the word, when you have faith in God, you have the word in your heart, because God gives you faith, and you can only have faith in God by having the word in your heart. Because faith, where does faith come from? Hearing, and hearing the word, okay? Now, he goes on to say, for verily I say to you, when Jesus says something to you, how should we respond? If Jesus was about to say something to you, how would you respond? Give him your attention, like, okay, like, I'm on the edge of my seat. Tell me. Like a little kid in a candy store, right? That whosoever shall what? Say to this mountain, okay, and then he tells you what to say. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he what? Says, what's going to happen? It shall come to pass. What's going to come to pass? What you say. So who's supposed to do the saying? Me. Okay? Now notice, you cannot say and doubt. In that respect, it's good not to be multitasked. If you have doubt in your heart, then don't say. You can only say if you don't have doubt in your heart. And if you're full of the word, then there's no room for doubt in your heart. Okay? Now, a mountain, what does a mountain represent in your life? Come on, talk to me. Obstacles? Sickness? Problems? What was that? Finances? Yep. Now, what are you supposed to speak to? You're supposed to speak to the mountain. You're supposed to tell it to be removed and cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. But what are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe what you say. That's why it's important to have the word in your heart, so that you say the right thing. If you have something in your heart other than the word and you say it, then it's not going to have the power of God with it. Okay? You shall have whatsoever you what? You say. So, there's a problem in my life. So I recognize this problem. I go to the Word, and I fill my heart with what God says about my problem, whatever it is. And now I'm feeling very confident, okay? You know, like when you eat a good meal, how you feel good, okay? And I've gone to the Word. Now, I'm going to address problem. Problem, you need to go in Jesus' name. You need to be cast in the sea. Problem, you need to go. And I'm not doubting, but I'm believing. So I have to believe that that problem is gone, don't I? If I'm believing what I say and I tell it to go, and when my heart is full with the Word, that problem's going to go. So I've got to believe what I say. Now, from this point on, I can't say anything different. If I'm over here now, and if I'm talking about my problem, how big it is, then I got to do it all over again. Okay? If you tell your problem to go because you're speaking God's word over it, it has to go, doesn't it? It can't go any other way. Well, how long should I tell it to go? Until it's gone? Until you have it? So now that I've spoken to my problem, I say, oh Lord, I thank you that that problem is solved. I no longer consider that a problem because I spoke to it and I've solved it, and I've got to thank God that it's solved on this side now. You see that? Okay. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, according to verse 24, what are you supposed to do when you pray? Believe what? Believe that you receive it. And then what's going to happen? You got to believe you receive it before you actually have it. That's what the word says. People want to believe they have it before they receive it. You've got to receive it when you communicate with God and His Word. God's Word tells you what you receive, doesn't it? This is the will. This is the testament. This tells you what belongs to you. This tells you what you can do. This tells you what you can have. So you got to believe you receive it here before you can believe you receive it out here. In other words, you got to believe you receive it here before you have it out here. You got to believe you receive it in your heart. Okay? Now let's go to Ephesians 6. What are you when your heart is full of the word? You're armed and dangerous. You are a walking threat to the enemy. And if the enemy confronts you, you have the authority to tell him where to go. Okay, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, you're supposed to be strong in two things. What are they? You could say it this way, to be strong in the Word and in the Spirit. You need to be strong in the Word and in the Spirit. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Because the Lord, He is the Word, and the power, that's the Holy Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. A wile is a scheme. God wants you to be able to stand against the schemes that the devil plots against you. And, you know, he walks about like a roaring lion. Roar, roar, roar. Seeking whom he may devour. Do you realize he's got to get your permission to devour you? Okay, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. He says this again. Put on the whole armor. Take unto you. Put on the whole armor. Take unto you the whole armor. The whole armor is a combination of the Word and the Spirit. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having the evil day is a day of temptation. Okay? It's the day when the devil gives you an opportunity to sin. And then he says in verse 14, or having done all to stand, stand. I've done all I know to do. Be quiet and stand. How should I stand? Like this or like this? I mean, you do not have a spirit of fear, but you have one of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So you ought to stand against the wiles. You ought to stand with confidence. You ought to take the position that says, don't mess with me. Or what is that thing? Don't tread on me. Right? Having your loins girt about with truth. In other words, you need to surround yourself with the truth. Having the breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When you declare who you are in Christ, that will quench the darts that the enemy shoots at you. So when the enemy accuses you of something or he calls you names, you need to declare who you are in Christ. If you hear a thought that says, you can't do that, you need to tell your thought, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, the battle with Goliath wouldn't have gone so well if David was silent. He had to say something. And thank God, it took someone from outside the situation to be able to speak God's word, because no one in the situation could. There wasn't one soldier on the army of Israel that could have spoken the word like David did. Otherwise, they would have when they should have. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we're going to unsheath our sword. Praying with always with all prayer or all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that's the prayer that we need to pray to unleash the power that's in our hearts. Yes, you got to fill your heart with the word, but you got to be able to speak the word when a situation arises, because it is speaking the word that's going to give you the victory. Speaking the word brings God's presence on the scene. Why? God spoke the world into existence. There's something about speaking the word of God. You got to be able to speak the word of God to your situation. Speak to your finances. Speak to your body. Speak sickness. Tell it where to go. Tell it what to do. Tell sickness what God said. By his stripes, I'm healed. And if it doesn't listen to you, tell it again. You keep speaking the word, that's going to bring God's power on the scene. Because the word of God is the authority. You have the authority in the name of Jesus to speak the word of God. Do you realize the word of God in Jesus' mouth is the same as the word of God in your mouth? I'm going to say that one more time. The word of God in Jesus' mouth is the same as the word of God in your mouth. It does the same thing. How often did Jesus tell someone to be healed, arise and walk, pick up your bed and walk, stand up? They were all commands. He told the sick person, stretch forth your hand. Now, he didn't do that all the time, but there were many times that he spoke. And we have the ability to speak to situations in our life. That's how we unlock the power that we've built up in our hearts. We've got to speak it out. When we speak it out, mountains will move, situations will change. Do I just say it once? No, you say it until the situation changes. Didn't the Bible say you can have what you what? What you say. Now, when you speak God's word, you're going to have what you say. Now, when you speak what you feel, you're going to have what you say. So I would not speak too much what you feel, because our feelings change. You want to speak something that's stable, steadfast, and proven. That's what you want to speak. Amen? So are you ready to have the victory of heaven on earth? Let's stand up for a minute. There are situations that we are all dealing with. If you're alive, you're dealing with a situation. Okay? I want you to think about what God says about your situation. Take a moment and give some thought to what God would say about your situation. I want you to picture the Lord Jesus standing right there with you. And I want you now to speak to your situation. Whatever your situation is, I want you to speak to your situation, and I want you to tell your situation what God's word says about your situation. Does that make sense? If you don't know what God says about your situation, ask him. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things that he's spoken to you. So I want you right now, I want you to speak to your situation. I don't know what your situation is, so I can't speak to it, but you need to speak to it. I don't hear anybody saying anything. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We speak to every empty chair in this place. Lord, every empty chair was designed for a person. You came to seek and save that which was lost. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we also seek and save that which was lost. And we go out looking for what was lost, Father. And we tell them that you love them and they'll be found in Jesus' name. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Father, I speak to my body. Lord, I thank you that by your stripes, I am healed in my body. I thank you, Father, that you give strength to my body. When I wait upon you, you renew my strength. You cause me to run and not be weary. You cause me to walk and not faint. Lord, I speak to my finances. You said that it is your desire that you want me to prosper and to be in health even as my soul prospers. So, Father, I thank you that my soul is prospering in the knowledge of